101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Good afternoon, everyone. Today we are sitting down with the Mrs. Erica Crowley, a wife, a mother, professional, woman of faith, and someone who has stood beside David Crowley throughout one of the most closely watched chapters in his public life. Campaigns often focus on the candidate, but behind every elected official is a family making sacrifices the public rarely sees. So today, there's an opportunity for us to hear from the woman behind the campaign, not about politics, not about just the campaign, but just life, family, purpose, perseverance, service, all of the above. So again, Erica, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm excited, first and foremost, because I am familiar with the work that you do. And I think that a lot of people who are listening will be eager to learn a little bit more as well. So we know that you are the director of the Rental Housing Resource Center in Milwaukee. You have worked with organizations since 2020 and leads efforts that helps residents avoid eviction, navigate housing issues, and connect with community resources. You've served more than 15 years. You have more than 15 years of experience in social services and poverty reduction. And you graduated from UWM with a bachelor's degree in community education. Community engagement and education. Again, thank you so much, Erica. I wanted to get that out there so that people will understand how important it is for us to discuss your journey and what you're great at as well. So again, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm like, wow, I did all of that.
Yes. So before people knew you as David Crowley's wife, they knew you as Erica. Tell us about the experiences that shaped you as the woman you are today.
Yeah, so before I was Erica Crowley, I was Erica Wright. I was my own individual. I had my own goals and dreams. But at my basic core, you know, when people always be like, tell me about yourself, I'd be like, it's so weird because over the years, that definition of who I am has changed. I always say at my basic core, I am someone that believes in operating in optimism, wisdom, possibility, and grace. I am a mother of three beautiful girls known as the A Squad because for some reason I name all my kids with the letter A. Don't know why I do that. Can't remember their names half the time. But I'm someone that's just always worked in social service. I started working in social service at the age of 19 at the Social Development Commission in the Energy Assistance Program. And I just always believed in working with organizations that either are anti-poverty organizations or help with alleviating poverty. I'm very passionate about moving people beyond poverty.
Where did you grow up? And if you grew up here, what part of Milwaukee did you grow up?
So I was originally born in Chicago. I moved here when I was probably about four, but I'm pretty much from Milwaukee. I don't really have a lot of memories of Chicago other than going back for holidays or, you know, during the summer. But I grew up on the mostly on the north side. My mother was someone that liked to move like every two years, so I didn't have a stable neighborhood where I would say, like, this is my neighborhood, this is what I rep, but pretty much the north side of Milwaukee.
And what high school did you go to?
Oh, only the best high school ever, Riverside University.
You know, I don't have nothing against I know a lot of people that went to Riverside. But you are basically, I was asking this because it just proved that you are homegrown, whether you were born here or not. And the fact, again, that you have expertise when it comes to poverty, when it comes to knowing what it is that your people need. What was it at a young age that made you decide to say, hey, this is something that I want to do and this is something that I should be doing?
Believe it or not, I kind of just fell into it. So my mother also worked for SDC. So when I was a child, I would go to work with her, watch her interact with clients. I mean, I believe she was at one point she was an executive assistant and she worked her way up. But I would just go with her to the office, learn about what the agency did, learn about how they help people, learn about their services. And then when I needed a job, I was like, hey, mom, is there anything hiring, you know, at SDC? And I started off volunteering in their energy assistance program. But just, again, learning more about the different services and the work that they had, I just couldn't move away from it. I was always touched by people's stories. I started off as a volunteer and then worked my way up to a crisis case manager and then like just really helping families find their definition of a quality of life. And it's just something I stuck with.
So you are familiar with being boots on the ground. You know what it means to work, to meet the people where they are and to work with them side by side. Now, you mentioned that you have the A squad.
The A squad, yes, my girls.
Three. So you guys have no sons at all, just all
no sons. No.
Wow.
So, it's very interesting raising three different personalities. Yes. My oldest is getting ready to go to college in a couple of weeks, so it's very bittersweet. It's like, yeah, I'm so glad that she's, you know, get to have this experience and she's growing, but that's my baby,
yes,
you know.
Yep.
Like, oh, what am I gonna do without her in this house? Like, yeah, I can't. Check on her. I'm about to keep her, like, keep your location on all the time.
Yes.
I can't do that anymore. So, yes. It's interesting. So that one's pretty much very introvert. That middle one is my rebel without a cause. She's so passionate about everything. That one's going to be, I can almost guarantee she's going to be like David when she grows up.
Yeah. That's twins.
Yeah. But just in her mannerism, how she acts, how she speaks,
yeah,
she's exactly like him. And then that little one, whew, yeah, that's, yeah, my wild child. But, you know. That's the one I think is turning my hair gray, but that one is has the sweetest soul. Oh my gosh, she's, yeah, such a sweet kid, and she just loves everybody, and she's so friendly. So just trying to navigate three different personalities, trying, yes, to make sure I install the same things into all three girls, also understanding that each child kind of gets a different version of me.
Yes.
But making sure that they have all the tools that they need to be successful women, because I'm raising women.
Yes, come on. Come on now. Come on, Pete. So we wear many hats, and I was talking about this the other day. Especially Black women,
mm-hmm,
that we have to be the mother, the wife, the sister, the best friend, the doctor, the therapist, everything, right? So with us often wearing many hats, the professional, the wife, the mother, and community leader, which role has taught you the most about yourself?
Ooh, I would probably say being a mother.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you a quick story. After I had my third child, I had postpartum depression, right? And eventually it turned to like functioning depression,
yeah,
and then it got a little bit severe, and I had like a lot of mom guilt,
yes,
as it relates to like trying to find the time for myself and balancing what it means to be a mom and what it means to still be an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn that process, right? I had to learn that it was okay for me to step away from these kids. Like, I don't need to be their everything every moment of the day. Like,
yes,
I can have a life for myself. So I think being a mother has really reminded me that I was an individual before,
yes,
I had these kids, and it reminded me that I had a sense of self and a sense of worth before them, and I'm,
yes,
more than just their mom. But I love being their mom. I enjoy being their mom.
Yes.
But I enjoy being me too.
Yeah, I know, that's right. We can't do for them
if we don't do for ourselves.
How old is you guys' youngest?
So my youngest will be 7 this year.
Okay. So this came, you mentioned the postpartum depression. I have a 9-year-old. I actually experienced that after I had her as well. And it's not something that's taught in the Black community. We don't really talk about it. So I wasn't really familiar with it. But if she's 7, this means that this was happening during the time that you...
Oh, the pandemic. Yeah.
Yes.
So Autumn was born 2019, November 2019. So that means we were going into the pandemic 2020, which means we were at home. We were,
yes,
isolated. My husband just became county executive,
yes,
which means he was gone all the time. So I had this 9-year-old, this 1 almost 2-year-old and this brand new baby, and me just trying to navigate what life looked for us during the pandemic. And eventually I started working at Community Advocates in 2020, but again, I had to be a worker and,
yeah,
also be a wife and also be a mom. And again, just trying to hold it all together in the most craziest time of the world,
yeah,
right? Not being able to have the help that I needed because of fear of people bringing COVID-19 into the household,
yes,
and my baby's getting sick.
Yeah. So how were you able to balance all of that, especially with David becoming the county exec and you getting your new position? How were you able to stay sane and say, you know what, I'm going through this? And again, we don't have opportunities to be selfish all the,
mm-hmm,
time, but I'm going through this. But I have a newborn. I have 2 other children. My husband has a new career and I have one. How do you balance that?
I had to learn it. It wasn't something that came easy. It was very hard in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think probably around the time Autumn might have been 4 is when I finally learned that, okay, again, this is going back to me having that depression.
Yeah.
That I needed to get the necessary help that I needed.
Yes.
And really trying to figure out, like, again, how do I get back to myself? So,
yeah,
finding the time for myself. I mean, it helped that the world opened back up and we were able to communicate,
yeah,
and hang out and give people hugs and love on people.
Yeah.
But it was really about just trying to really find a new version of me that I loved.
Absolutely.
When you have children, when you become a wife, and this is not everyone's story, it's just mine, but you can lose yourself in those titles of wife and mother. You know, right?
Don't I?
So
yes.
you have to get back to a sense of self. And for me, it was getting back to what I used to love, you know, mm-hmm. getting back to writing, getting back to hanging out with friends, finding some time just to sing my favorite songs out loud in the car, listen to the music that I want to listen to and not kids bop all day.
Yes. It's a lot. It's a lot. And I commend you for that, too, for being able to pull yourself out of that. Mm-hmm. Because when you are focused on everybody else while going through postpartum or any type of depression and anxiety, is it's extremely difficult. You know, it can be extremely difficult. We don't often view it that way until later on. Like, dang, how did I get through that?
I know, right? But you know what? I would say for me, I had a really great support system, but I also had God.
Yes.
Without God and without faith, I don't know if I would have got through it.
Yes.
So I always give credit to God, credit to where credit is due, because if it wasn't for him and then those quiet nights with me and him, me crying out to him, me like, Lord, I need you today. Otherwise, I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. Yes. I had to hold on to that. I had to cry out to him.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was going to be my next question. Where does your strength comes from?
Yep, definitely from the man above.
Yeah.
It definitely comes from God. Growing up, my dad used to be a pastor, so I always had that foundation of faith. My dad has always installed to us, like, calling on God, loving on God, knowing where your help comes from. He put that in us very early. So, you know, as you get older, you kind of stray away, you become an adult, you want to do your own thing, but then as you get older, you like, I remember my dad taught me these things. I remember someone told me that you need this higher power in your life if you're going to get through anything. So I hold on to that. You know, my favorite verse is about worry about nothing and pray about everything. And that's how I live my life now. I don't worry about a single thing. I pray about everything.
Yes, that's right. We have Mrs. Erica Crawley in the building. Do not touch that dial. When we come back, we are going to talk more about some of the public facing issues, also, again, the strength and the things, the role that you play behind scenes, not just being his wife, but just as a woman in general, a woman of the people. We want to hear from you. 833-212-1017. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. One on 1.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, and we are joined by Mrs. Erica Crawley. Again, thank you so much for joining us. If you are just now tuning in, before we went to break, we were talking about her support, her being a woman, her wearing many hats, being a wife, a mother, being a director, all of the above. As you know, in this campaign, there has been some issues surrounding some old tweets. We know that public life often means that moments from the past can resurface years later, sometimes becoming part of a person's public story long after they've moved on. In David's case, there has been public attention surrounding social media posts that were attributed to him years ago. David has consistently maintained that he did not write those posts and that someone else had access to his account. From your perspective, Erica, what do you wish people understand about that chapter and its importance, its impact on your family?
One thing I would say is that you can't judge somebody by what they did in their past.
Yes.
Who he was in his 20s is not the same person who he is in his 40s.
Yep.
And if you know, if you grew up in Milwaukee, you knew who the party promoters are. You knew who that whole little group was. You knew, I mean, I grew up with most of the guys that was a part of that group.
Yeah.
I went to high school with them, and I partied with a lot of them in my 20s.
Yeah.
If you would see me in my 20s, you'd be like, ooh, you're not the same person that you were. So I don't think we should hold someone accountable for something they did when they were young. You got to meet people where they are and give them time to grow.
Yes.
If we held him to who he was in his 20s, he wouldn't become the man he is today.
Come on.
That man ain't nothing like he was back in his 20s. And that's a lot of men these days. A lot of our men that's now in their 40s and their 50s, they are nothing like who they are back
then.
We were young. We were wild. We were just, you know, as the kids say, living our best life, right?
Yes.
So I want people just to understand that, yes, this is something that he's attached to, but it's not who he is. It's not who our family is.
Yeah.
This is not the image that we have for our girls, is not the beliefs that we have. And just mind your business.
Come on now.
Okay, this is something that happened 20 years ago. Mind your business. Did this happen yesterday? No, it happened 20 years ago.
Yes.
Mind your business, let it go.
And that's coming from his wife. So if she's saying mind your business, mind your business. Mind your business. How has this impacted you, right? Sitting back, like, does some of these things bother you? Like, man, they just be coming up with anything.
No, not anymore. I think I'm used to it. Again, David ran for he was a state rep back in, I think, 2016. I was pregnant with Ava. I have to remember how old my kids are. So, you know, I've been a part of this since we've been married. So this isn't nothing new to me. The criticism, the information that they think they found on him, the racist comments.
Yeah.
I'm used to it by now. I don't even indulge. I just look at it and go about my day, or I just don't read it.
Yeah. And that's the best way to go. We know that campaigns can test the family strength in the ways the public never sees. What has taught you the most about resilience during this journey?
Ooh, that is a good question. I would probably say, again, when we talk about the racism that I'm seeing, am I aware that there's still racism in our country? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it a little disheartening to see it so close to home?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I've been trying really hard to shield my family, my girls, our parents from some of the things that we're seeing online. But despite it all, we hold on to our faith. We do what needs to be done. We focus on our family. We focus on what's important to us. And we just, as my husband say, you know, every day is a good day. And we get through our days.
And I really dislike people who make comments like that, not just because, only just because they're racist and they shouldn't, but because it's social media.
Mm-hmm.
People can, you know, we have loved ones, right? Especially when all you're trying to do is serve your people, and you hate me
right.
because I'm trying to serve my people. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And I know that Crowley has thick skin and that he has been in this as well. But how much do you have to pour into him in moments like this, or any moments where he feels attacked from every different angle? We know the unspoken realities that black men face when they walk outside of their doors, right? How do you support him? How do you pour into him?
I mean, I've been pouring into that man since the day we met.
Yeah, come on. Come on now. Let's go, sis.
I 100% believe in edifying my man.
Yes.
That, you know, he works very hard, and not just for the community, but for our family.
Yes.
And he needs to know that he's appreciated, that he's loved, that we trust him, we trust his leadership, and we love him. So I edify him all the time. You know, when he needs extra support, whatever extra support he needs, I'm going to give it. But he knows that his best friend got his back.
That's
okay,
right.
He knows
on.
That I'm going to take care of him.
Yeah.
He knows that, you know, I'll go to jail for him.
Come
no,
on,
I'm man. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna go to jail. But
I know what you mean.
But no, I mean, the best thing I can do as a wife is to pray for him.
Yeah.
I constantly pray for him, pray for his protection, pray for his peace, pray for his wisdom, make sure he operates in wisdom.
Yes.
And again, verbally let him know that you are appreciated, that we trust you, that we love you, and that there's nothing we could do without you.
Yeah, absolutely. So we know that he dropped out of the race. Were you thrilled about him rejoining the race?
It was a bit complicated. When he dropped out, I felt grieved about it. Like, I was really saddened about it when he was like, I think we should do this. And I'm just like, no, just hold on. Let's just wait and see.
Yeah.
No, this is for our family. He was like, the numbers aren't there. I'm going to drop. And I was a bit devastated. So I felt like I grieved the process. And then getting back in, I was very hesitant because I just didn't want to go through that grief process again.
Yes.
I didn't want to feel the pain. And it's not because so much that I wanted it, but I wanted it for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted people to really finally see him for who he was, that amazing leader, that strategic thinker, that person that's always thinking about how to make somebody else's life better. And I really wanted people to understand that and see that about him. So when he dropped out, it was like, now people don't get to see what I see every day.
Yeah.
So now that he's back in, I'm glad that people are finally paying attention to exactly who he is and the receipts that he have.
Because
I think most people didn't understand what a county executive did or does. And now people are forced to do their research and understand exactly what he does and how he does it and how the decisions that he's making is going to better Milwaukee County.
Yes. And what you just said is key. Because a lot of times people have opinions and they don't even understand, right? So sometimes we can, especially when we're aligned and we're walking in our calling, when we're doing the work, we're doing it for everybody else. So to your point, the fact that he did rejoin, obviously because he wants to make this a better state for us all. But what it also does on the back end is forces people to be put in a position to where they have to educate themselves so that, A, they can check themselves and not misspeak, but also offer more support and be more considerate when it comes to some of the comments that are made. Let's touch on you a little bit. So we know that you motivate him. We know that you're there. You got his back and that you are a driving force in your household when it comes to building him up. Right. What does that look like for you when it comes, you know, for that? Because I know that you have your career as well. And like you said, sometimes what happens is we put, as moms, we put ourselves on the back burner. And then being a mom, another new mom during a pandemic while starting a new career, can be very difficult. What was the motivation from him like to say, hey, babe, you know what? Get out there and do what you need to do.
Yeah, David has always been my biggest cheerleader. I will say, because I am by nature a bit more introvert, yeah. He has always like pushed me out of my comfort zone, and he has stretched me in ways that I didn't even know that I could, like, whoa, I could do this. I could do that. Like, I didn't even think I was capable of a lot of the things that he has encouraged me to do. So since the day we met, he's always been like, you can do this. You're intelligent. You're smart. You can do this, 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 and this. And then he always, it's not so much that he tells me, but he gives me the tools to show me to make sure I'm successful.
Yes.
So that's one thing that I appreciate part. Because it's great when someone is saying how great you are, but when they actually assist you and give you the tools so that you can be successful, that's even better.
Yes.
So that's what I would say.
Yes. How has it been now that he has rejoined the race? I've seen you in a couple of clips at some of this.
It's been crazy.
How has it been for you, like, popping out? Because you're more behind the scenes.
I'm very behind the scenes. I would rather write the speech if somebody else give it. So yeah. It's been very interesting kind of being everywhere. It's a little frightening, but also very humbling, because I didn't think that I had that much of an impact. I didn't think I had that much to say or that I was that important. And what it's showing me is that people appreciate what I have to say, and that people appreciate my perspective, and that they love to hear from me. And I'm just like, I'm so honored and touched.
I mean, we want to. I said it yesterday that who you marry matters. Who you marry matters. Primarily because, especially when you're doing this work, because your partner should be doing the work too, right? And we all come from this city. We know what that looks like. It's not just a one person type of situation. It has to be a team. And I think that you guys are a great example of what that team looks like. What advice do you have for young couples who may be interested in joining politics or something similar, and they're trying to figure it out?
Communicate with each other. Be on the same page. Have a vision for your family, also have a vision for if you're a family in politics. Know what the vision is you have for the community, and make sure it aligns with the vision that you have for your family.
Yes.
Like I said, our family operates in optimism, wisdom, grace, and possibility. And that's the same information that I want to serve the clients that I serve.
Yeah.
That, again, when you're sitting with me, what does a quality life look for you? And then how do I help you get there?
Yes.
So I would say for any young couple, have a vision for yourself, have a vision for your marriage, have your individual plans for yourself, and then have a vision for how you want to operate within the community.
Yeah, I have to say, I love y'all. For real, I do. Because I was watching the speech, and when you start speaking, everybody that was watching could see the way David was looking at you. It was like how Obama looked at Michelle. I was like, let's go, DC. Like, yeah, that's my woman. What y'all thought? How has it been for the girls?
Oh, the girls are fine. I mean, they don't care.
Do they look on TV and be like, at that moment?
Again, they're used to it because their dad has been on TV multiple times before. Their dad has had rallies. Their dad has had events. And the girls are included in everything that we do. Because, again, if we're a family of service, we're teaching our girls service. How to again, serve yourself, but also how to serve the community, how to serve the people.
Yes.
So they're used to it. I mean, they're all like, another event? I get another, you know, my youngest is like, I get another dress? She's princess. Boring. That's my princess. That's my princess. She's such a diva. So she's all like, do I get another dress?
Yeah, she's all for it.
Yeah, she's all for it.
Sign me up. We are talking to Mrs. Erica Crawley. Coming up, we're going to turn our attention to Milwaukee's future, education, affordable housing, and the role Erica hopes to play when David is elected, because we're claiming that. Mm-hmm. You won't want to miss this. Please do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. 101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. Looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you will hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they are located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses and the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local businesses. Milwaukee, Truth Nation, we have Mrs. Erica Crawley in the building. If you are now just joining us, we are talking about what it means to be Black Girl Magic. Now, we've talked about the campaign. We've talked about how you support David. We've talked about your upbringing. I want to tap into who you are today. We know that you are a director. We know that you, you know, went to school, to graduated from UWM. Can you tap a little bit more into your educational background and then move to your role as a director?
Okay. So I had like 20 majors when I started school. Initially, I thought I was going to be a doctor, but I learned at the college level, the science was way too hard for me. Then I was into criminal justice, and I don't know what was going on. I just couldn't figure out the concepts of some things, but I was already working at SDC. Mm-hmm. So my advisor said, you know what, since you're already working in the community, we should change your major into community engagement and education.
Yeah.
And I could have either became a teacher, but since I was already working in the nonprofit sector, it just made more sense for me to stay there.
Yes.
So I ended up staying there, worked at SDC for 9 years. Again, started off as a volunteer, ended up being a crisis case manager, ended up working for a weatherization agency that, again, focused on low-income families and providing free weatherization services to low-income families.
Yeah.
Again, was working at that job, got laid off when I was 8 weeks pregnant with my youngest. So I was a stay-at-home parent for quite some time. And then in 2020, went into community advocates. And believe it or not, I didn't get hired as a director right away. I got hired as a case manager working in our emergency rental assistance program.
Yeah.
But because I was doing such a great job, and I came in and created all these different systems and streamlined all of our processes so that things just flowed easier. Our quality assurance system, just so things flowed better.
Yes.
I ended up being promoted to the director.
Come on now. Come on. So campaigns are often centered around one name on the ballot, but leadership is rarely a one-person journey. If David or when David is elected, what role do you hope to play, not only as his wife, but as a partner in serving the community?
I think it's going to be the role that I already play, which is being an advocate for poverty, being an advocate for housing. I don't know if you guys look at the makeup of our city, but housing is an issue. In our county, housing is an issue. We don't have enough housing. The cost of housing is way too high.
Yeah.
We don't have enough resources for housing. And for me, I want to be a champion of housing. I want to make sure that the federal government gives us the money that we need to make sure that our residents, and this is not just focus on Milwaukee County, but just statewide to make sure that, you know, we don't have mothers and children sleeping in cars.
Yes.
That we don't have homeless people sleeping on the street, that, you know, people can afford their rent, because rent is crazy. It's super high. So I'm going to continue to be a champion for housing and, again, for anything anti-poverty.
Can you talk a little bit more about some of the challenges you see residents face with this role as the director?
A lot of it breaks my heart. Because again, it's looking at that mother coming in, looking for resources, and her kids are sleeping outside in their car.
Yeah.
It's someone who may have a place, but they're dealing with a slumlord, and there's an infestation of rats and mice and roaches, or it's someone who has the desire to move but don't have enough income.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot more seniors that can't afford their house, that's getting kicked out of their house and have nowhere to go because they don't have any family.
Yes.
So there's a lot of issues surrounding housing.
Can you break down how the funding trickles down and what the process is for those who are in need once funding is obtained, and the importance of receiving funding?
So one, let's talk about why we need to receive the funding. Because as I mentioned before, there's all these issues that surrounding housing.
Yeah.
Again, rent is too high, not enough housing stock, or being forced to live somewhere because you don't have enough income to afford a better place.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't provide the services that we need. So, again, assisting with housing. Let's go back. We also work with domestic violence survivors. So if you're someone that's in a domestic violence situation and needs to be relocated, you would come to the Rental Housing Resource Center at Community Advocate so we can help you with housing resources.
Okay.
But again, if we don't have funding for that, if we don't have housing stock for that, how do I help someone get to their next safe place? So we got to start with making sure we have the necessary funds. And a lot of that has to start at the federal level. The federal level has to trickle down their dollars to the state, and the state needs to disperse it between the city and the county. Without funding, we don't operate.
Yeah.
My ultimate goal would be to work myself out of a job, but that's because everyone has stability.
Yes.
And then we got to understand that housing, stable housing makes everything else stable, right? If you have stable housing, then, you know, you have stable income, stable mental health. Your kids can stay in their schools. They don't have to move around a lot. So our goal is stability. So even though we're housing focused, we need to make sure that we're stabilizing the whole household. But that only happens if we have the necessary funds to disperse and give clients the resources that they need.
Yes. So outside of housing, are there any other initiatives once elected, or if David is elected, that you will want to put in the forefront?
Absolutely. As we know, our children can't read.
Yep.
And although our children, I would even argue that even though our children can't read, they also can't comprehend. So it's not enough just not to know how to read. But for those who can read, they're not comprehending what they're actually reading. So believe it or not, I am an author.
Yes. Oh, come on. Let's talk about it.
We can talk about it. So this is how I met David. So I used to be the VP of operation for a magazine called Black Empire Magazine.
I remember that.
Do you remember that? Okay. Yeah. So it was a cousin. It was a magazine that my cousin and I started. So I was VP of operations, but I also wrote majority of the articles.
Yeah.
And David was someone I interviewed and had to write up his article. So I would like to focus on literacy. Like, how do we get our kids to read? How do we find things that they're interested in? Are we focusing on the phonics? My kids started reading at the age 2. If you go back in my Facebook page and go look at all of my Ava videos, Ava started reading at 2.5. You know how that happened? Because I worked with her. My mother-in-law worked with her. We bought kits. We practiced sound. She was only allowed to watch the TV with the closed caption on.
Yeah.
So I really think we need to go back to the basics and really focus on making sure that our children can read, but also making sure that our kids are critical thinkers. It means nothing to read if you don't critical think.
Yes.
And that's something I really want to focus on, like making sure not only are we creating the next generation of readers, but are they smart?
Yeah.
Can they read data? Can they read something and analyze it and understand what the points are?
Yes.
Too many adults are not critical thinkers, and it's so frustrating to have these spirited debates, because I don't like to argue, so we're going to call it these spirited debates with people. And I'm just like, did you not understand what this says? Like, are you not reading the facts? Are you not reading the data? We need more critical thinkers, but that only happens if we have to invest in our youth.
So what do you think is causing the issue as it pertains to our youth being behind when it comes to reading?
I don't want to just always say it's social media, that they're stuck on their tablets, that they're stuck on the TV. I think social media plays a part of it, but also are our parents involved? Parental involvement is essential if we want our kids to excel academically, right? Yes. And I know that. I studied it. So we got to get our parents more involved. And if not the parents, are there community leaders? Are there mentors?
Yes.
Like, how do we get people involved to make sure that our kids are on the right track?
Yes. How do you feel about the school voucher program? I was talking about it earlier. I personally, my children, I have 3 children who are 19, 18, mm-hmm. and 9, and they've all experienced charter, public, and private school. And I had to put them. So I was, when my 2 oldest was in school, my mom used to be like, "You crazy." They were all going to 3 different schools. Mm-hmm. But I had to, based off of the way they learn and based off their personalities and what worked for them. Had we not had that option, I don't know where my children would be. So I am an advocate. I'm not saying that we need to expand it. I am an advocate for it, just for parents having options, right? But I just want to, again, I understand the importance as a someone who comes from NPS too, why we need to focus on the public school system. But where do you stand when it comes to the voucher system?
I actually agree. I believe in choices. I don't know if we know the history of why we have the vouchers, but a lot of our Black and brown kids weren't allowed in these schools.
Yeah.
So if there are better materials at these schools, if they're going to get a better quality of education, not saying that they can't get a great education at NPS,
yes.
But I think it's okay for parents to have options. There's nothing wrong with options.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I agree. I don't think it needs to be expanded, but if there's a parent who wants their kids, who lives in the city of Milwaukee, but want their kids to go to like Nicolet or one of those schools on the South Side, what's the problem?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, you know, for the other candidates who were against it, I think it's more so just trying to find a solution strictly for the public school system, but we should be finding that whether we have the vouchers or not.
Right. And like, then we also got to understand that, as you said, your kids learn differently. My oldest school went to, my oldest daughter, she went to a Montessori school because her learning system was based off the Montessori. Like, and she worked well in Montessori.
Yeah.
My other kids are at a language school. They're all at MPS schools, but they all learn differently, and each school gives them something different. So if you have a child that's not functioning well in a public school, and not because the public school isn't great, it's just it's their learning style. Maybe they need to be somewhere at a school that fits their learning style.
Yes, exactly. We have Mrs. Erica Crawley in the building. When we return, we will end on a personal note, family legacy and the woman behind the public life. Stay with us for our final conversation. It's your girl Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. One on 1.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, and we are joined by Mrs. Erica Crawley. She is a very, very, very special woman. Again, I am grateful to have you. She serves as the director of the Rental Housing Resource Center here in Milwaukee. She's also the beautiful wife of County Exec David Crawley, who is currently running for governor. So we've had some great conversations. We've talked about postpartum depression. We've talked about being a mother, what it means to support you know, David, especially when it comes to the nonverbal or the hidden realities that black men face every day when they walk outside of the home. We talked about your education. We talked about your upbringing. I want to dive a little bit more into how you deal with all of this. So I've watched you throughout this campaign. And one thing that stands out, Erica, about your ability is to keep showing up is the grace. Right. Right. Many people might describe that as having a superwoman schedule. What keeps you going on the days when you are exhausted?
Girl, God. Yeah, I'm telling you, we're going to give God the glory every time we talk. Now. OK, because God keeps me going because I know I have purpose. The thing is that even when I don't feel like I'm needed or I'm necessary, or like I mentioned earlier, like I'm such a background person that I don't think that me being the forefront was that important. I realized that there's purpose in everything that I do, and I want to make sure that God always get the glory in everything that I do. So on days that are hard, on days when I'm tired, on days where I feel like giving up, I just have to remember that you have purpose. And God told me this a long time ago. I don't even know what year it was, but I remember it was in the winter, but it was a warm day. Like, we didn't have any sun, and this was like when my oldest had to be like 2 or 3. And I remember going to the beach, and I'm just like, oh, God, I was sick of life, right? God, I'm sick of life. I don't know what's going on with this life. And I remember it was January, but no snow. It was warm, and there was a lot of fog. And I remember there was a family on the beach going into the fog. And I remember saying, I can't see the family. Like, I know they're safe, but I can't see them. And I remember God telling me, that's just like your purpose. Just because you can't see it doesn't know that it isn't there. And I hold on to that every single day to know that I have purpose. So there's no reason why I should be stressing, or even though I do, but there's no reason why I should be stressing, or there's no reason why you can't go on because the purpose hasn't been fulfilled. So I hold on to that with everything that I got.
Not leaning on your own understanding. I'm telling you, because some days I can barely get out the bed if it wasn't for God's strength.
God, listen.
I'm trying to tell you. So I want to touch on, I know earlier we talked a little bit about some of the, you know, rhetoric. I won't reiterate it, but what do you think people misunderstand most about your family overall?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not really sure what I think people misunderstand about our family. That is a good question. I'm gonna have to get back to you on that, because from most of the stuff that I read, I feel like we get a lot of good responses. Like, a lot of people love us. A lot of people appreciate us. I don't, again, other than the racist comments, I don't really see too many things attacking our family as a whole. Do I see them say things about David? Absolutely. But it comes with the territory, right? Again, it's stuff that's been said about him since he was a state legislator, so it's nothing new. But I've never seen any attacks on our family, and I'm going to cross my fingers that it stay that way.
And they bet not.
But I do want people to know that, again, we are a family of service. We've always been a family of service. We're installing service into our girls, and that we really care, and we're really compassionate about making things better. Again, my goal in life is to help someone get to their definition of a quality of life.
Yes.
Not what I want for you, but what do you want for yourself? And then how do I help you get there so that, again, you have whatever purpose look like for you, right? How do I help you obtain your purpose?
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's touch back. Let's back up a little bit. What advice do you have for working mothers who may be experiencing postpartum depression?
Find the time for yourself. Get the necessary help that you need.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go too much into it, but when the depression got bad, I had to go get professional help.
Yeah.
I had to go talk to a therapist. Again, I'm glad I had a great village. I'm glad I had a supportive husband who recognized the signs, but I had to go talk to somebody. So if you're going through that, one, don't be afraid to tell someone that you're going through it, but then also get the professional help. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. But then get back to a version of you that you love.
Yes.
I think what I've learned is that I kept trying to get to a version of me that no longer exists.
Yeah.
And I had to figure out like who I am today, and I had to learn this new version of me and be okay with this new version of me. And
yes.
I think a lot of times we're so focused on, at least this was me, I'm just trying to get back to who I used to be. That person don't exist anymore.
Yeah, come on.
You know, that person has some great qualities that you can move in, you know, that you can, you know, use going forward, but that person does not exist anymore.
Yeah.
So find out who you are in this season and learn to love and build on the person that you want to be going forward.
Yes.
But get the help, please. I'm telling you, it got really dark, and I don't want to go into too much detail, but it got really dark. And if I didn't get that help, I'm not 100% sure that I would be here today.
Yeah.
So please, if there's any feelings of that, please get the help.
Yes, yes. And we know, like I be saying it, I felt like I was in my 20s again. Man, listen, I done went out a couple weeks ago with the family for a celebration, and I just was
tired, huh? Girl, I'll be in the bed like 10, like when 10 o'clock hit, I got to learn to be in the bed by 10 o'clock.
Yes. Cause I just, like, I can't do it. I'm that friend that like, we doing this tonight. Yes, we is. We doing this. Clothes laid out, 8 o'clock come. I'll be like, girl, I'm
going to see me for 20 minutes and I'm going home to be back in the bed by 10 p.m.
But thank you for sharing that. Again, I know we talked a little bit about it offline. I had postpartum depression after my daughter too, and it can take you to a very, very dark space, especially when you're dealing with, you know, whatever else you have going on inside of you and outside of you also. Take time for yourself. That's the most important thing. Take time for yourself, as she stated. So we have to go to break. When we come back, we're going to wrap the interview up, but we want to talk about legacy, right, and what that looks like for you specifically. We have Mrs. Erica Crowley in the building. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.